Hello, everyone. Welcome to my podcast, Movies, TV, and More. I have a new host that's going to be with me. My wife is starting school, so she's going to take a break from being on the podcast. But my new host is my little brother, Joseph Richardson. Joseph.
Hey, how's it going?
So, Joseph, will you tell a little bit about yourself and like your movie qualifications and that kind of stuff?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm qualified, but I sure do love movies. I literally almost on any free time I have, I just watch movies and TV shows. Probably not a great habit, but I like binging and watching movies and making sure I keep updated on the new movie.
The reason why I chose Joseph is not because somebody I would want to actually watch a movie with necessarily, because he wants to get every single line. Like, he wants to be able to hear every line that's happening, which is fine. But if I want to talk during the movies, it's a problem. And I'm a talker during the movie. I just want to talk. But Joseph wants to absorb everything. He's perfect to start a podcast with, not perfect to watch a movie with.
But no, yeah. My wife doesn't like watching movies with me. I have to have subtitles. And even then, I'll sometimes rewind it so I can catch everything.
Yeah. So his retention is off the charts, which is the opposite of me. Kind of what our idea is, we're going to obviously still do funny movies. We're going to talk about funny movies on the podcast. We did change it up a little bit. But we are also going to cover newer movies that are coming out so that you don't have to watch lame movies. So me and Joseph will review the movies, and then you can watch them if you want to. If you don't want to watch them, that's fine too. So that's kind of the idea. We went and watched Dune 2 together. We talked about it for a while, like the movie. And we were like, you know, that'll be a good thing if we just talked about this on our podcast that I already have. Today, our topic of discussion is Naked Gun 2. Joseph had never seen it before, and I made him watch it. What are your initial thoughts of the movie?
Well, my initial thoughts was I was very confused because I searched the movie under Naked Gun 2, and it's not Naked Gun 2.
No.
It's like Naked Gun 1 and 2 and a half.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious, just the name of the movie. And as I looked it up, the other one, what is the other one? It's Naked Gun 33 and a third. I thought that was hilarious. So that's just my, I don't know. Before I even watched the movie, that was just my initial thought process of that. I was like, "What? Where's the movie? How can I find it?" And then, oh, it's like,
yeah.
2 and a half. Okay, cool.
Yes, yes. Yeah, probably confused him. I told him we were going to do Naked Gun 2 was going to be the first one because my wife and I already did Naked Gun 1. And so we did Naked Gun 2. And yes, and so you didn't get a chance to watch Naked Gun 1, did you?
No,
so,
I didn't. So this is actually my very, very first Leslie Nielsen movie that I've ever seen.
So there you go. So he's new at these ones. I told him my favorite of everything that Leslie Nielsen has done is Police Squad, but he started with Naked Gun 2. So what are your overall thoughts of the movie?
Well, I thought it was hilarious. I don't think there was like a single minute in the movie without some sort of comedy. And I love that, especially because my life's kind of all homework and school. And so when I watch a comedy, I like to laugh the whole time. And I thought that was really good.
Yeah. So as far as the genres of movies that you enjoy watching, would you say you like comedy or drama more?
I like comedy way more. I mean, I like action adventure, Lord of the Rings. I like Dune. I like Star Wars. If I'm like sitting down trying to relax, I'll watch a comedy.
Nice. So maybe you should watch Spaceballs. It's another parody movie. It's really fun. There's just a lot of parody movies that we got to get you watching for sure. Did the movie meet your expectations?
Yeah, I have seen a lot of Leslie Nielsen stuff on your page, on your Instagram page. And yeah. I've always thought it was hilarious. And I was a little worried that if I was going to watch a movie, like a full length movie, that it wouldn't be as funny within the context of the movie.
Right.
I was like, oh, Steven's probably pulling it out of context to make it a little more funny. But the movie was actually just as funny, if not a little more funny.
Yeah, for
than,
sure.
You know, just actually seeing it in sequence, right? It was really funny.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get into some more of the questions, I want to cover some hot goss from the world of this. So they are coming out, I don't know if you knew this, after years and years. Naked Gun 33 and a third came out in 1994. They are coming out with Naked Gun 4 after all these years. Paramount
years?
Plus.
Is that almost 30 years?
Yeah.
That's 30 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, 30 years. Yeah, so it's going to be next year, so it'll be 31 years. If they had figured out how to come out this year, it would have been 30 years, which would have been cooler. But here's the drama, Joseph. So,
well, one, Leslie Nielsen's not around anymore.
Yeah, that's Leslie huge. Nielsen died in 2010. So trying to replace him, which is what people really like about the movie, is difficult. But they're replacing him with Liam Neeson, which is kind of cool. There's some, which is funny, because so you don't know the background on this, but Leslie Nielsen was a serious actor, serious actor, serious actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was just, everything was serious. That's why he's able to do deadpan really well. And the first movie he did that was comedy was Airplane, and he killed it. Didn't know what he was doing, but the directors, there's three directors in that movie, told him, hey, you don't know that there's a joke happening. So he eventually did it so well that they kept doing all these movies with him. So that's why they chose Liam Neeson. There are some clips of Liam Neeson where he's like just deadpan, just straight up.
I saw one where he's dressed as a bunny.
Oh, yeah. So there's the bunny one. There's also a movie called Ted where he like is getting tricks. And he's like worried that tricks are just for kids and that he's going to be followed if he gets by his tricks. It's really funny. I'll show it to you.
Gotcha. Later. Oh, no, I have seen that. It's from Ted.
Yeah.
Or something, right? Yeah, I've never seen Ted. I've never seen it. But I did see that clip. That was hilarious. Yeah, yes. No. Okay, I can see how he could do it now.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense. Leslie Nelson really does. The whole movie that I saw is straight face the entire time. And that was like, I was like, this has got to be impossible for him.
Right. And that's why he does it so well is because the director is like, you have to pretend like you're not in on the joke. This is serious. And I think that's a problem with a lot of movies that are parody is that the person who's goofy is annoying. It's hard to say that it's a bad thing, though, because the first thing that comes to mind is Pink Panther, where everybody knows he's goofy. But I think it's funny where it's like in this, they don't know he's goofy. The whole point of that is to say, though, that David Zucker, who wrote all the other Naked Gun movies, he, from what I understand, wrote a script for Naked Gun 4, and they didn't like it. It was a little bit too offensive, and so they kicked him off, and they're not using him at all.
Oh, wow.
So they are instead going to have Seth MacFarlane, who is the writer and like director of Family Guy.
Okay.
He's going to be the one. And it's kind of a
different
a big
set of comedy, though.
Yeah, it's. I think he could probably write similarly enough, but I think the biggest thing, and people are so upset. I just wanted to go over a little post that David Zucker posted. He posted a picture of the Naked Gun franchise with Liam Neeson, and it's just like an article that says, Naked Gun creator David Zucker excluded from the remake. And his caption was, the Naked Gun franchise that I created earned Paramount almost $500 million. Kudos to the current regime at Paramount for not being motivated by money. Really funny. My favorite comments, first of all, from his posts. David, gently extend your arms, extend your middle finger. Very good. Well done. So that's from one of the Naked Gun movies. And then another one from a Naked Gun movie. Same old story. Boy finds girl. Boy loses girl. Boy forgets girl. Boy remembers girl. Dies in a tragic blimp accident over Paramount Studios. Ruining whatever disaster remake is going to be. Just really funny comments. And somebody responded, good year. And he said, no, the worst. It's just kind of a frustrating thing. I say don't make the remake. Make something else completely, right, entirely, if you're not going to use the same director, especially when the director wants to participate in it. Yeah.
They're already like kind of going out on a limb with trying to replace Leslie Nelson, who's this iconic parody movie person, right?
Right.
And I think that they shouldn't go out on a second limb and be different.
The fact that David Zucker wants to be involved is frustrating enough, and the fans are so loyal to him that I think it's ridiculous that they would try to make it without him.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So that's the hot goss. That's what everybody's frustrated about right now. That's what I'm frustrated about. I think that they should just make something else that's similar. There's another TV show that was based on Police Squad and Naked Gun series. Angie Tribeca, I think. Steve Carell created it. And it's actually the actress. So it's actually Rashida Jones that's the main detective who, she's been in comedies, but she's not usually the funny person in the comedies. It's very similar to Police Squad where it's just funny stuff is happening all the time. So if they made something like that, I think that would be more successful, because I think genuinely all the fans of Naked Gun are not a fan that they're changing it so much. Just a brief background on the Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear. When it was released in 1991, it knocked Robin Hood, the Prince of Thieves from the top spot at the box office. It grossed $86.9 million in the United States and Canada and did even better internationally, grossing $105 million for a worldwide total of $192 million. Against a reported budget of $23 million, it was the 10th best performing movie of 1991 in the United States, which is impressive.
Oh, yeah, that's very impressive.
So obviously, Paramount has reason to want to make more because they've done so well. You want to sum up the plot?
Yeah, I can sum up the plot. I'll try my best. It starts out in the White House. Hilarious scene. And basically, the president announces that he is going to go off of the energy recommendations of a Dr. Meinheimer. So the people who are in charge of coal and oil and nuclear power are super ticked by that, basically. So Dr. Meinheimer leaves, and his plan is to advocate for renewable energy, essentially. And he meets Jane back at their lab or whatever. And Jane is very sad from being separated from Frank, and she's working in that research. And then while she's there, she sees a suspicious man leaving, and then they find a clock with dynamite attached to it, and it blows up, killing a bunch of people. It doesn't kill Jane and Dr. Meinheimer, though. So then the next morning, Frank comes to investigate, and Jane's there, and this is also a really funny scene. He meets Jane's new boyfriend, which is Quentin Habsburg.
Yeah, this is my favorite scene of all of the Naked Gun franchise. One fun fact about Habsburg, he's played by Robert Goulet. I think that's how you pronounce the name. He's already been in the Police Squad franchise. So at the beginning of every single Police Squad episode, so the Police Squad was not very successful, even though it was my favorite out of everything. I like it more than Naked Gun. But it wasn't successful. And every introduction, they would say a guest star, and it would be someone pretty famous. And then in the intro, they would be killed off.
Oh.
So they'd say this person. So he's actually the guest star who's killed off in episode 3. Butler did it.
That's really funny.
It's really funny.
Going on, we kind of see that Quentin, he holds a secret meeting with the energy industry leaders where he reveals his plan for changing Dr. Meinheimer's speak. He has like a doppelganger for Dr. Meinheimer. That is hilarious as well. He introduces everybody to Earl Hacker, which is basically like a hitman. So he introduces everybody to the doppelganger, which is Earl Hacker. And then eventually the police squad, they track down Hector Savage. And it's the person who Jane saw leaving the building who probably left the bomb there. And this was hilarious, this chase as well. It was really funny. So they chase him down. He ends up getting away, essentially. After that, Frank visits Jane at her apartment after a party. And Savage is there too. And he tries to kill her in the shower. And then Frank fights him and there's a scuffle and he ends up killing Savage. And then Jane and Frank rekindle their love. After that, the police, they stake out the warehouse where Dr. Meinheimer's being held captive. And Frank sneaks in and he gets tied up with Dr. Meinheimer. And then they get freed by the police squad after that. And then they hatch this plan where Jane helps them get in to see the speech by Dr. Meinheimer. But Jane gets taken in by Quentin, so they have to find a way in. So they masquerade as a mariachi band. That part is hilarious as well. Love that part. And so they end up sabotaging Quentin's plans and getting the right Dr. Meinheimer to speak. Also funny scenes. And then they realize that Quentin has planted a nuclear bomb in a building adjacent and it's going to explode and he's going to escape. And they end up foiling that plan and disarming the bomb. Quentin gets mauled by a lion.
Epic ending, of course, to an epic movie. I think my favorite line of the whole entire movie is that, now, Jane, what can you tell us about the man you saw last night? He's Caucasian. Caucasian? Yeah, you know, a white guy with a mustache about 6'3". And then, of course, awfully big mustache. It's just the best line I've ever, in any movie.
That part's hilarious.
Another one. That's the red light district. I wonder why Savage is hanging out down there. Sex, Frank? No, not right now, Ed. We've got work to do. Super good. Just funny. So some fun facts really quick that I have, and then I'm going to ask you some more of the questions. So Weird Al is in every single Naked Gun movie. He appears in all of them.
Really?
Including this one. And number 2 is the only one where he doesn't appear as himself. And then 1 and 3, he appears as Weird Al.
Right.
And then in this one, he has a brief role as a thug that holds the police precinct at gunpoint. In the scene, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and he hits him with the door.
Right.
When he comes in.
Yeah, yeah. He says, okay, pig, say your prayers. Frank slams the door, knocking him into the floor. So Weird Al said that it took more than 20 takes to get the scene done. And after about 16 takes, his leg had turned a nice shade of purple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably for getting hit in the door and falling down, huh?
Right, yeah. The stunt coordinator asked if he wanted to wear some padding. What did you think of the acting and performances?
Oh, I thought they were pretty good, actually. I feel like Leslie Nielsen did an amazing job, as always. But I thought the supporting actors were really good, too. They were always really great at keeping a straight face during the jokes, keeping environment right for those jokes. I also loved Dr. Meinheimer. I thought he was hilarious. And I thought that whole doppelganger part was so funny.
Jane is actually Priscilla Presley, which is Elvis Presley's wife.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. They like to cast football players because it brings in a whole new audience. Or sports players, the directors, and O.J. Simpson is who they cast for that. His acting is not great. So that's one who I don't think the acting is very good. But how did you feel about the direction and the cinematography?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. It's a early 90s movie, right? Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like visually beautiful.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Right.
But I thought that for the time period and everything, like they did a good job at keeping everything surprisingly realistic while being funny.
Right. Standout moments or scenes for you?
I have a couple of these.
Cool.
Okay. So I think the first part where I really started laughing was at the beginning when he's walking through the bombing scene. That is hilarious. He's just like walking through and there's just like a guy and his legs are sticking out of the wall. He's walking through and he's talking to Ed. And then Ed's like, you're standing on another victim.
Yeah.
And he like sets up and he's like, whoops. Yeah. That was hilarious. I thought that was so funny.
So that's actually another bit that they kind of copy from Police Squad. So the very first episode of Police Squad. They walk through the crime scene and there's just all these things in the background. There's somebody taking a picture with a dead body.
Oh,
like they are walking the stretcher out with another dead body, honestly, probably 50 feet long at minimum. And so it's kind of a similar bit where it's walking through the crime scene and just everywhere you look, there's something in the background.
Yeah, I thought that they did really good on like all that. That's a good addition to the visuals. Something that's throughout the whole movie, honestly, if you're looking in the background, you're always going to see something hilarious too.
Right.
It's not just the main sequence of the movie. It's just little background things here and there that are hilarious.
I doubt there's one person who has caught every single joke happening.
Probably, yeah.
Every time I watch it, I find it more jokes.
I also thought that Jane and Frank, their argument at the bar was hilarious. That bar was really funny. Like the blues bar or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought their argument was hilarious when Jane was like, "Oh, Frank, we're no good together. All you ever lived for was your police work." And he says, "And you were always busy trying to save the end zone layer." And she says, "Ozone layer, Frank, you never tried to understand." And this is part I love. "How can you say that? I sank every penny I had into buying that 1,000 acres of Brazilian rainforest. Then I had it slashed and burned so we could build our dream house."
Yep.
I thought that was hilarious. I really thought that was funny, though. I liked that part.
Another part that I like is when the bomb is in the trash can. She said, "Hey, Ken, look at this. I found this in the wastebasket. Hey, that's a pretty nice clock. Wonder why they threw it out. It's probably because it's 4 minutes too slow. Here, let me fix it. There." And then it immediately detonates.
That is hilarious. I love that part. I forgot about that part. That was definitely a highlight for me. I laughed really hard.
That kind of humor, it kills me. Honestly, that's my favorite kind of humor. Just like mildly dark, but also just really funny.
Another mildly dark, but pretty funny time was how Hector Savage dies. That was shocking for me. I was like, dang, right. You're just going to fill him up with water and let him explode. It was very disturbing, but also really hilarious. Another part that I really liked was when he finally gets into the warehouse, right? And they're like, "What's that smell?" And he's like, "I like swimming in raw sewage."
Oh, yes.
And I thought that was hilarious. Yes. And that whole scene where he's like
the whole
swimming
dog chasing scene.
Yes.
And
he pulls the dog up onto the roof and he's like getting chased by the dog. That was so funny.
Just swam in raw sewage. I love it.
Yes, that's what he said. That was so good.
So funny. Another reused scene from Police Squad. The scene where it says, "Any witnesses, Ed?" "Well, just one, a woman. She saw a man leaving just before the explosion. Maybe we should let Nordberg handle this one." "No, I better do it while it's still fresh." "Well, not now, Frank. She's fainted dead away. She took a nasty knock on the head. She looks pretty bad." And he says, "I'll handle it." The description is like
most hideous.
Yeah, approaching a Quasimodo-ish humpback woman.
Yeah.
And then, "Excuse me, miss, I'd like to ask you a few questions." Not that bad, Frank. And that happens in Police Squad, too. So it's just, they do reuse some of the bits and stories because they never got seen because Police Squad wasn't something watched. So, Joe, I really think you need to watch Police Squad.
I think I need to watch Police Squad, too.
I did a Police Squad episode one on the podcast, but maybe we should do, like, episodes 2 through 6 or something once you've watched them and just discuss your thoughts and opinions on Police Squad. Because genuinely, I think you'd love Police Squad.
Another part that was just, like, random and it was just really funny for me was when they bring in the doppelganger for Dr. Meinheimer and he stands up and he's laughing while he pulls off his wig. You expect like for him to look vastly different somehow.
Yeah.
But he literally, after he takes everything off, he looks like exactly the same. Hair's like super long down to his shoulders. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep.
And this is a pretty iconic scene too.
She wrote the book on male sexual dysfunction. You probably read it.
Yeah.
And he says, "I beg your pardon." We got to find it.
Okay.
Oh, here it is.
"Frank Drebin, I believe I've used some of your restroom." "I'm sure you have." "Are you in some way connected with the Institute?"
"Well, not officially, but as a matter of fact, Jane and I have been seeing quite a lot of each other lately. How's my little Hellcat?"
"Well, that's great. I've been dating too. Nice girl, an author. She wrote the book on male sexual dysfunction. You've probably read it."
"I beg your pardon."
"Frank, please."
"Oh, it's all right. I'm sure that we can handle this situation maturely, just like the responsible adults that we are. Isn't that right, Mr. Poopy Pants?"
"That does it."
I've posted this a couple times, but the comments, my favorite, are always just that the fact that it's Mr. Poopy Pants that pushes him over the edge.
Yeah, when he goes, "That does it."
Like, it wasn't the...
That was hilarious.
Right. It wasn't like the sexual dysfunction joke or anything like that. It was Mr. Poopy Pants that just pushes him over the edge.
I have to say, that was probably my favorite supporting actor acting at that point when he's like, "That does it."
He's hilarious. Yeah. So, and he's funny in a lot of other stuff too. Like, he's a famous dude.
Another classic. This is just like classic slapstick comedy, but I liked when Frank was trying to get himself untied and inadvertently was destroying Dr. Meinheimer with like all the things on top of the shelf.
Yeah.
There was no end to the creativity of what could fall off that shelf.
Right.
They just kept like making random things fall off. I thought that was hilarious.
It's literally so good. I love it so much. Okay. Well, let's see. I have a couple more questions. How would you rate the movie on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd probably rate it an 8.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good rating because I think the comedy aspect of it as well as the plot just makes it, like I've talked about that before on the podcast, just very good plot for a comedy. And you kind of mentioned that too. It actually fits. It's a good story. What's your favorite aspect of the movie? Not scene, but favorite aspect.
One thing that I liked was just the repetition of how Frank just kept getting himself into these ridiculous situations, somehow like coming out on top and the hero of the situation that he got himself into.
Right.
He makes the situation that needs saving and then he saves it and then he becomes the hero. But I thought that was hilarious how he always is the one that almost makes the life-threatening situation when he speeds up the bomb and then trips over the cord plugging into the wall.
Yes.
I thought that was hilarious.
I love it. That's my favorite. I think that's what makes it so good. And then the fact that obviously he doesn't know. It's supposed to not be funny. It's supposed to be serious. So overall, I'm glad that you enjoyed the movie and I'm glad that you finally watched it.
Yeah.
I think so. What we're going to do is we're going to just start reviewing movies here and there that are comedy that we love, that are classics, but also just cut stuff that are coming out to see if there's any good movies coming out nowadays. A lot of the movies aren't up to quality of what people are used to from like the 80s and 90s. So we're trying to find good movies that are currently happening and trying to expand mine, yours, and the listeners' movie choices.
Right.
So we're going to watch comedy, but we're also going to watch serious stuff sometimes. Right, so you can, if it's something that you're not interested in listening to, like an episode, you can skip the episode to the next comedy one. But we're going to cover some comedy stuff. The next one we're going to come out watch is, are you still going to do this? We're going to watch the movie Fall Guy.
I'm so excited for that.
And we are going to discuss if it is good, worth watching, kind of the stuff that went into the background. We probably won't cover too much about plot because we don't want to spoil it for anybody. But we are just going to cover the acting, the overall comedy aspects that we enjoy, and if it's worth watching. So give us a listen and give us a follow, and we appreciate you listening to our podcast.